What is going on, guys? This is Dylan from the TN Podcast, and today we are going to break down the Tigers offseason so far. Before we get into that, just wanted to update you guys on what's going on with the podcast and everything. So, yeah, I made a couple videos in the summer, and then I got kind of busy. Wasn't able to really get many posts out, and the podcast, I kind of just stopped doing it for a while. But I plan to, you know, I'm not going to make podcasts like weekly. I don't think I ever could, but I'm going to try to get podcasts out maybe like once a month or in the season, maybe once every couple weeks, you know, just to break down what's going on, just to share my thoughts. You know, on Instagram, you only have so much you can put in a caption, and on podcasts, you can really say as much as you want. The growth on Tigers News lately has been crazy. We got to 6,000 about 2 weeks ago, and now we're getting close to 7,000. 2021 has been a huge year for this page. Really kind of went from, you know, just your Tigers fan page to like the Tigers fan page now, which is crazy to think. Really hoping that we can push towards 10K next year. That would be awesome. But anyways, the Tigers have made three significant moves, I would say, this offseason, along with others that we'll also break down. But the first move, I think the move that we need to break down first, is that the Tigers signed Javier Baez to a six-year deal worth $140 million AAV. Baez has an opt-out in year two, after year two, and has a no-trade clause, a limited one, in the deal too. So the first thing that pretty much everyone thought, and I would say many non-Tigers fans too, is why did the Tigers not sign Carlos Correa? And my answer is the Tigers didn't want to commit 10 years and $340, $350 million to one single guy. And I think Correa wanted that, especially if he wanted to come to Detroit. It didn't really seem like, from just what I've heard in the reports, I feel like that the Tigers could have signed Correa for an affordable, like a reasonable contract, they would have. And because they didn't want to pay, you know, 35 for 10 years, they would really rather have Baez, you know, for only 23, that's 12 million less, and for a much less longer commitment. I mean, Baez, if he opts into his deal, will only be 35 when his contract is up. It's not going to be into his late 30s where he can barely move at second base. So that's definitely probably the main reason why the Tigers didn't go with Correa. Story is a different story. Story is probably, I think the Tigers reportedly offered him, and I assume he's going to get more money. I think Story is probably more highly touted on the market, and I think he has more of a market anyway. Story does have some health concerns too. He dealt with arm issues this year. His shortstop defense declined. He's kind of declined a little bit over the last couple of years. He's definitely has the best track record of any free agent, including over Correa, in this class. And I think he has probably the second most upside of any free agent in the shortstops. If he can get back to what he once was, a 6 WAR player, 35 home run power, walks, does everything well pretty much. So yeah, I think he, if I had to guess, is going to go to, I've heard the Rockies want him back, and I think Houston is definitely looking at him, New York potentially. I think Boston could get in the mix, move Bogarts to second base, and then put Kike Hernandez in center, and you have a legitimate shortstop who can play defense. I think the Angels also could be a sleeper team for Correa. I've just been thinking about it. You have Pujols contract coming off the books. You know, you have a hole at shortstop. You're a big market. I know the Angels have a history of giving out these big deals that have failed, but they definitely could if they wanted to get Carlos Correa. And Carlos Correa, possibly a bounce-back Anthony Rendon, Jared Walsh, Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, that team could be lethal next year, potentially, if they were to add Carlos Correa. But that's kind of like a long shot, in my opinion. So anyways, what are my thoughts on Javier Baez individually as the signing is? So if you read my post, you could tell I like the signing. I'm not going to be mad when the Tigers add a 6 WAR better player than what they had. The Tigers were literally fielding 4A guys at shortstop for the whole season, and this team was trying to be competitive, but the defense was absolutely awful. The Zach Short experiment didn't work. Harold Castro is not a shortstop. Nico Goodrum just isn't it anymore. The injuries have kind of made him fall off, and he was never that good of a player anyway. The Tigers needed a shortstop, and Javier Baez, he's a 4-WAR guy. He's going to give you a 115 to 120 WRC+. He'll hit 30 home run. Like, Javier Baez reminds me a lot of Eric Haas if he could play good shortstop at good defense at shortstop. Eric Haas, you know, Eric Haas is never going to get on base a ton, but he has a ton of power. And this is when Eric Haas was raking in, you know, the earlier months. He kind of fell off in the end. But I think anyone would want an Eric Haas, a good Eric Haas for your shortstop. And that's kind of what Baez reminds me of. Baez, some of the things that really, like, the good things about him is he's a good base runner. He's going to give you reliable defense at short. That is an extremely undervalued thing with the Tigers, was how bad their shortstop defense was and how much of a help getting Javier Baez was. You can't forget, this team's identity is their starting pitching. And having good defenders behind, Mize, Skubal, Eduardo Rodriguez was someone that struggled with bad defenders last season. Getting a good defender, and we'll go more into this in the Tucker Barnhart signing, but improving the defense had to be one of the top priorities for the Tigers this offseason. And getting someone that can, you know, give you a decent shortstop is going to help a ton. So that's one of the things with Baez. Seager, he's not really a great defender. Semien, he's not a great defender at shortstop. Correa, obviously a good defender, but he's also $200 million more. So Baez as a quality shortstop helps, and he's got crazy power. The Tigers have not been a home run hitting team. The Tigers ranked last season they ranked last in offensive war, though I think F4 for offensive stats a little bit overrated. But the Tigers ranked 24th in home runs in the MLB. Javier Baez giving you 30 home runs this year will definitely help this team, at least with the power-wise. And obviously, Javier Baez is not perfect. I think easily the most notable thing is his play discipline. I think it's a little bit over-talked about, in my opinion, because with these guys, there's some of these unicorn players like, you know, Tim Anderson, Tyler O'Neill. Javier Baez is one of those players that just because they don't walk a ton and strike out a lot doesn't mean they're not good. Baez is in that small unicorn type of category of guys that can hit well even though they don't walk. Scope is honestly, I wouldn't consider Jonathan Scope to be like that, but Scope is another guy that succeeded, and then Baez is just that on another level. He's got the home run power. He hit 31 home runs in 2021, 29 in 2019, and 34 in 2018. If you take out that shortened season, Javier Baez has been about a 115, 120-ish WRC+ hitter, putting up an average of 4 WAR per season. And one thing that really stuck out to me was his durability. Javier Baez, this is his numbers of games played since 2018. 1-6, actually, if you go all the way back to 16, 142 in 16, 145 in 17, 160 in 18, 138 in 19, 59 out of the 60-game season in 20, and then 138 in 2021. Durability is really important in a baseball. And almost every other free agent other than Semien has had injury concerns and have been out for long periods of time, Correa included. So Baez with that durability is just another thing, icing on the cake. And then the last thing about Baez that I really want to break down is about the opt-out in year two. So that's a little concerning to me because Javier Baez, look, he's a big name. He was an MLB The Show cover. If Javier Baez is raking and has a great season in his contract year, or potentially contract year in 2023, we could be saying goodbye to our franchise shortstop after only two seasons. I don't think Javier Baez is someone that's going to stay if he's doing amazing. And I just think that concerns me a little bit. I will say, though, after 2023, that's when Miggy's contract comes off the books. I think the Tigers in that offseason could either bring Baez back or potentially get another guy in the 2023 free agent class. and E-Rod also, who we'll go into in a second. But all three of those guys' contracts potentially could come off the books in 2023, which would free the Tigers about $70 million and would give them a little bit of room to extend Mize, Scooble, Torque, Manning, all those guys who are going to be into arbitration by then. So just a little bit of a strategic thing I want to point out. But yeah, if I had to grade a Javier Baez signing, I think there is a risk with this, obviously. If you give up money, you have to take risks, though, if you want to win. And I think obviously not getting Correa is a little bit of an L, but I would give this signing a solid B to B plus. And I think Baez is going to be – he's the face of this team. He's the Tigers' best player. So if you're going to be mad about the Tigers getting a four-war shortstop at the biggest position of need, I don't know why you're mad. So the next signing I want to go into is Eduardo Rodriguez. So the Tigers were one of the first teams in free agency to sign anyone, signing Rodriguez to a five-year contract worth $77 million. So Eduardo Rodriguez, he's just a really steady, solid pitcher. In 2021, he had a 10.56 K per nine, 2.68 walks per nine, and 1.08 home run per nine. He had a 4.74 ERA, but every other stat was really good. A 3.5 xERA, 3.32 FIP, and 3.43 xFIP. So pretty much just tells you, you know, Eduardo Rodriguez has been getting – was really unlucky. And there is – the Red Sox defense did struggle, which, again, is why I was talking about the Tigers getting a defender in Javier Baez. That will help out. Also, that puts Jonathan Scope – Jonathan Scope is going to play more second, which is going to help. But anyways, Rodriguez, he really just gives you a solid guy that you kind of need to, like, staple this rotation. You know, you have Mize, Scooble, and Manning all inexperienced, all in their young 20s. They don't – with Matt Boyd being out for significant time next year and likely off the team or almost surely off the team today, which we'll go more into in a little bit – the Tigers kind of needed a starter really bad, and they needed to get someone that can, you know, help this team win because this team is trying to compete next year. And Eduardo Rodriguez, you know, he sticks out to me as just – he's only 28. He's pitched really well the last 2 years. The durability, I think, is a little bit of a concern. He did throw 200 innings in 2019, but he only threw 157 off of 31 starts in 2021. And I think with the unluckiness, that probably worked up his pitch counts. But he had a low walks per nine, which only going five innings gives me a little bit of concerns of his stamina. But, yeah, adding Rodriguez is what the Tigers needed to do to get a guy that's reliable, that's going to go out there and throw your five, six innings every 5 days and hopefully stay healthy and help this team win. The signing could, again, the opt-out – you don't love the opt-out, especially with Rodriguez only getting 15.4 in AAV. If Rodriguez pitches a 4-5 WAR season in his contract year, he is gone. He's only going to be 30 years old. I would say I'm more confident that Eduardo Rodriguez will opt out than Baez, but I think both of them could potentially in 2023, and that would be a rough offseason for the Tigers. So why was Rodriguez so bad, which you might wonder? So again, Eduardo Rodriguez had really good peripherals, but his ERA was almost 5. And the reason for that was because, look, his BABIP, which is batting average of balls in play, in his career from 2015 to 2019, his BABIP was 299. And then in 2021, it was 363, which is uncharacteristic. I mean, you don't see that just happen. That doesn't just happen. And it's further defended by the fact that Eduardo Rodriguez, first of all, his hard hit rate was in the 90th percentile, which is good. 90% or at the 90th percentile, which is good, which means 90% of pitchers were giving up harder contact or a higher exit velo when their contact was made. His expected wOBA was in the 75th percentile. His hard hit percentage was in the 87th percentile. And Rodriguez gives up weak contact, doesn't walk many, and strikes out guys. And that's pretty much all you can do as a pitcher. You can't control what happens with the balls in play. If it's hard contact, then that's not good. But when you're not giving up hard contact and players are getting 363, it's almost surely going to have positive regression, and Rodriguez should be a bounce-back candidate in 2022. I wouldn't even say he he did bad last year. It's just he got a bad ERA. So Rodriguez, I would give this signing an A minus or an A. I really like this signing. Rodriguez is one of my favorite guys on the market. He isn't, you know, he isn't your Robbie Ray or Kevin Gausman, but he's in that second tier. And he wasn't too expensive. He gave the Tigers financial flexibility, I assume, to get a short, to get Baez. So Rodriguez, he's just a winner, and he's going to help this team win. He has a World Series under his belt. Overall, I can't be mad about that signing. It was a really nice signing, and I think many people were happy with the signing for Eduardo. So that's the second big move. And then the third big move is the Tigers trading for Tucker Barnhart, essentially really signing him as Tucker Barnhart. He had a club option. The Reds weren't going to do it, and the Tigers called them and decided to. The Tigers, they really, the catcher free agent market was really limited this year. Barnhart was going to be on it, but the Tigers made sure to get him before they could. But had the Reds trade him to someone else, the Tigers would basically have to fight with probably half dozen of teams for Yan Gomes and or Roberto Perez. Perez hasn't been able to stay on the field, and Gomes is solid, but there's going to be a lot of competition for him, and he got a multi-year deal. So Tucker Barnhart, he's not a great hitter. He's no Eric Haas. Jake Rogers, I mean, he kind of overperformed, but still. Tucker Barnhart's a well below average hitter. He's not here to hit, and he never has hit in his career. But he's competent enough so that when you have him, his defense is going to make an impact. Barnhart isn't a star. He isn't even much better than league average, if he even is league average. But the Tigers have struggled at catcher for quite some time. Last year, they had, obviously, Haas for 2 months, absolutely rake. Jake Rogers was a stud. Too bad he had to head Tommy John. He should be back soon. And Dustin Garneau, even for a couple of weeks, had some unsustainable success. But the Tigers don't really have sustainability at catcher, and they got someone with Barnhart. I want to talk about the Barnhart addition, how it's just more than just the Tigers getting a catcher. So with Barnhart, you know, Barnhart is a pretty good framer. Barnhart ranks in the 79th percentile in Baseball Savant in framing. He's a good defensive catcher, and the Tigers kind of need that because the Tigers, again, their identity is pitching. They need to get guys that can help these pitchers pitch well. Barnhart has been commonly regarded as a very, very good pitch sequencer, and pitch sequencing is one of those stats that are kind of, you know, there's no numbers to really tell if a guy is a good pitch sequencer. If a guy is a good pitch sequencer, pitchers have success. And Barnhart, many pitchers succeeded other than Luis Castillo for some reason. But getting a guy like him over Eric Haas is a major improvement. And Eric Haas is obviously not bad. Eric Haas is going to be on the team next year. He still has that legit power. He gives you an offensive guy at catcher. And he can probably platoon in left field with Badu if the Tigers don't sign an outfielder. So I'm not trying to like make Eric Haas sound bad, but Barnhart gives you what you need, you know? He gives you a left-handed bat to complement Haas's right-handed bat. He has good defense. He's going to help with these pitchers, especially the young guys. And he just helps with this Tigers trying to improve their defense. The Tigers kind of have, you know, solidified their defense as maybe average now with these moves. I would like to see them get a center fielder still. Center field is a little bit concerning to me, like who is going to start there. I would guess it's Derek Hill and then Riley Green comes up, but I'm not entirely confident with Riley Green manning Comerica center field. So I was talking to a follower about this, and I've kind of heard about this, but Kevin Kiermaier makes a lot of sense as a short-term option. The Rays, you know, they're always trying to cut money, and they have a ton of guys that can play. They could easily put Manuel Margot as their everyday guy in center field to get Aráez Arena and then Austin Meadows playing time in the corners. So Kevin Kiermaier, you know, I feel like he's a little bit expendable. Kiermaier actually had a pretty good year. He had a 101 WRC plus and is obviously an amazing defender. So if I'm the Tigers, I would give Tampa a call, maybe try to get Kiermaier for cheap if he is going to make an AAV of $9 million. I don't know his exact salary, but yeah, he's a affordable center fielder that the Tigers could potentially use next year for, as a stopgap for whoever they want in to pursue in the future. If maybe, and maybe they can try Riley Green in center. So I don't think it'll happen, but Kiermaier just makes a lot of sense. But anyways, breaking down other moves the Tigers have made, they have a lot of decisions to make about who to non-tender and not to non-tender. The biggest move so far that the guys that they've had is that they've announced that they'll be non-tendering Matt Boyd. Matt Boyd, you know, he's been kind of just one of those guys that have helped you survive this rebuild. I mean, barely. Boyd, obviously, the Tigers had a huge opportunity to trade him at the 2019 deadline and decided to ask for Gleyber Torres. So that was a huge missed opportunity, definitely annoying. And then, you know, after that, he kind of fell off. You know, he showed some nice improvements in 2021 in the start of the season, but then he was injured, came off the IL, and really just struggled there, and now has to get surgery. There's no point of really paying Matt Boyd $7 million when you're going to maybe see him for half the season. So I assume the Tigers offered him a two-year deal for pretty cheap, maybe 2 years for $7 million, and he most likely said no, and that's kind of how that happened, and Boyd will probably, I think he's going to go to Seattle in his hometown team. So, yeah, it's kind of unfortunate to see Boyd. You know, he kind of just had a sharp decline ever since his 2019 first half. But I feel like Boyd, you know, we kind of knew how he was. You know, he's a four starter, inconsistent, sometimes can pitch well, but pretty much, you know, just your average Joe. He had a nice little, he had some nice time with the Tigers. The Tigers also non-tender waived Nico Goodrum. Goodrum, you know, he was really promising in 18 and 19 back in those dark rebuild years. Goodrum led the team, actually, the offense in F4 in 2019. He was, you know, about a league average hitter. He struck out a ton, but he could walk, and he played good defense at shortstop. So it was worth giving him a shot in 2020, leading into 2022 with that. Or 2021 with that, not the best idea. But Willie Castro was also on the clock, and he kind of failed. But Nico, at least, you know, it was time to move on from him. He was projected $3 million arbitration. It was just not going to happen. And then Grayson Griner, the era comes to the end with him. I am very not surprised about that. Griner was quite horrible for pretty much every time he came up. He had a .326 on base percentage this year, which was kind of funny. He had like a .215 ex woba, but you know he had a career high WRC plus. Actually, a lot of career high offensive stats. But yeah, no, he might make some. He'll be on someone's team in camp. Probably gonna be, you know, catcher depth the rest of his career. And I hope to not see him in a Tigers uniform anytime soon. Other moves that the Tigers have made. They're going to have to make some with arbitration. I posted in my offseason plan about like who I would tender and non-tender. It's going to be interesting. I think the inevitable guys to get non-tendered are going to be Garneau and Ian Kroll, who haven't already. And then Victor Reyes is going to be an interesting decision. Reyes, I would not tender him. I just don't think he's – I think we've kind of pretty much seen what Victor Reyes is, you know. A 4A guy, you know, he can play okay defense. He can hit your .270 with a .300 on base and no power. Like, he's a 4A guy, and sure, I wouldn't mind him on, like, the back end of a 40-man roster if he was not, what, 27 now? But paying him over $1 million, like, I would way rather give that spot to Derek Hill in the roster. Because if they're going to tender him for $1.3 million, I assume they have plans to sign him. So, Reyes is just someone I don't see coming back, but I would not be shocked at all if the Tigers decide to. He actually hit really well in the second half, and he's had like little streaks of playing well. He actually had a pretty good slugging percentage this year, .416. But yeah, no, I'm not sold on Victor Reyes as anything good, and hopefully the Tigers move on. Also, Joe Jimenez will be interesting. I think the Tigers tender him. He has shown some upside, and he has his whole career, and I think he kind of is just someone that shows flat, is really inconsistent, you know, to command sometimes is there and sometimes it's just terrible. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen with Big Joe. I'll guess they'll tender him, but I think it's really a flip of a coin with him. And then other moves, Jamer Candelario. I was talking about Tigers signing him to an extension. They're going to sign him to an extension through arbitration, but it's interesting to see if the Tigers are going to sign him to a long-term deal or just for another year as they wait for him to get hit arbitration. So that's kind of your recap of the offseason. Tigers signed a minor leaguer named like Marcus, a pitcher who's in his 30s. He just had relationships with the recent pitching director that they hired. So, you know, just a depth signing, just familiar face for the Tigers. And then they also, let's see, is there any more moves that have happened? No, I don't think so. So, yeah, that's kind of your offseason recap. It might have been a little sloppy just how the organization of this, but I just wanted to, you know, just talk about the Tigers and break down some of the moves they've made. So, moving forward, I'm going to talk about the Tigers. I want the Tigers to do the rest of the offseason, and I'm going to break down what the Tigers roster is looking like for next year and how I feel about it. So, going into Tigers' needs, I'd say there's three free agents that the Tigers should sign right now. And the first one is an outfielder. I talked about Kiermaier just a minute ago. I would love to trade for a center fielder. That would be nice. But I think the Tigers ultimately are going to try Riley at center. Derek Hill will get time at center. I think Badu will get a couple hundred innings or a couple starts in center, even though he has not been great there. But yeah, center field is going to be an interesting position. The question really is whether Riley can play it, and then what is the long-term plan? Because right now, it seems like Robbie Grossman is probably just going to be here for this year and then probably let go. And I probably wouldn't want the Tigers to extend Grossman past 2022. And then, you know, you have Green and one of the corner spots for long term. But again, what are the other two spots for? Is Badu really going to be a guy of the future? And can Derek Hill be a good enough defensive player to, you know, or have a good enough bat to be a defensive first starting center fielder? Like, it's going to be interesting, and I think signing an outfielder makes a lot of sense for this team. I'm not really sure, like, if the Tigers – I would love the Tigers to get a guy like Kyle Schwarber or Michael Conforto on a long-term deal. You know, with Grossman leaving, you'll have a guy that you'll have for the next 3-4 years that can legitimately hit. You know, Grossman can hit, put up a 110 WRC+, but the Tigers don't really have any X-factor offensive players right now. Obviously, Torque and Riley hopefully can get there, but expecting them – two plot players that have had 50 or 100 plate appearances over AA, you can't just plug them in and be like, okay, yeah, we're going to have a 150 WRC plus from one. But getting a guy like Michael Conforto or Kyle Schwarber, you know, guys that have had multiple years of sustainable success. And I know Conforto had a down year this year, but his expected stats expect him to bounce back, and I would be quite surprised if he didn't. But getting a guy like that onto this team would be a huge help for this offense. Right now, looking at this team, I'm kind of shaky about kind of how the offense looks. I don't know. The term mid is exactly how I see this Tigers offense, you know. Catcher Tucker Barnhart and Eric Haas, you're not going to see a ton of offensive production. First base, Torque, hopefully is good in his rookie year, but you can't expect him to instantly come in and just start mashing baseballs. I mean, he has made some good adjustments and has had some huge progress, but expecting Torque to come up and absolutely mash, it's just stupid. I mean, Torque is probably going to, you know, I would guess Torque probably puts about a 90 to 110 WRC plus. He'll show your flashes. He'll hit dingers, but he's probably going to strike out a lot. He'll probably have streaks where you're like, is this guy a bust? I mean, there was a ton of talk if Torque was a bust, if you don't remember, the first month of this season. So again, expecting in low A, he was, or in high A, he was not hitting the ball so well. And obviously he heated up because he's Spencer Torkelson. You know, he's not going to be a trash, but still expecting him to be amazing right off the shoot is kind of eh. And then at first base, and he won't even, there's not even a guarantee he starts the year at the major league level. I would guess he would, but I'm not entirely sure. And if the Tigers don't, they can rock with Scope and then give Paredes a chance. Isaac Paredes is someone that's it's really interesting to me because, you know, he's got extreme discipline, but the power is just not there. And I think he can be, you know, a multi-year starter somewhere, and the Tigers could pursue it as Scope could opt out after this year. But my question is, did the Tigers look for a trade for Isaac Paredes potentially? I think multiple teams would definitely be interested. And if the Tigers want to get, you know, possibly a controllable starter, look at Sonny Gray and the Reds. I'm sure the Reds would love to get another guy that has great plate discipline that can play second. Cough, cough, Jonathan India. I mean, getting a guy like Paredes could be nice, and maybe throwing in a starter, maybe throwing in Matt Manning. I know Gray's a rental, but Manning kind of struggled this year. Wait, let me just look at this. Sonny Gray, 2.5 WAR with a 23 club. Like, that's a – I wouldn't be totally opposed to, you know, giving up Paredes at minimum to get, like, a guy like Sonny Gray or get – maybe go even farther and get a guy like Frankie Montas on the A's, who I heard may be on the market. Like, getting a quality starting pitcher or getting a quality guy and trading Paredes, I would be up for it. I think with, you know, the shortstop's kind of set for the future. So, yeah, just that there. And then also, moving on, shortstop, you know, Javier Baez, he's a good bat. You know, he's going to give you 110 to 120 WRC plus probably. For these upcoming years, but he isn't, you know, a game changer offensively, and neither is Candy. Candy, I'd say, is probably the best hitter on this team, and he's probably going to give you about a 120 WRC plus next year. But again, you don't have anyone with that it factor next year, and I think this offense is going to be just, you know, maybe league average, but probably around like the 22 to 25 range. I don't think it's terrible, and it's way better than the past, especially the defense. But I'm not really like a huge fan of the, like, when I look at the lineup on paper, I'm not just like, wow, this team is going to be so good next year. You know, it looks probably about a 75 to 80 win lineup. And on paper, I mean, the Tigers last year were about a 60 to 65 win team. So AJ Hinch getting that team to win 77 games makes me a little bit more optimistic about this team next year. And then anyways, I would also like to see the Tigers sign another starting pitcher and then sign a relief pitcher. So for starting pitcher, obviously, the Tigers' rotation right now is, I assume, Eduardo Rodriguez, Matt Manning, he's not number two, but he's in it, and then Casey Mize, Scooble, and then Tyler Alexander, and then you'll probably see Joey Wentz next year, and then Alex Viedo, and let me just look if there's any other names that I'm missing, but right now, this rotation is in deathly need of another guy at minimum. You know, injuries are inevitable, especially with starting pitchers, so you have to add at least another guy that can come up. Like, even Willy Peralta, I would be up for re-signing him to a cheap one-year deal. Elvin Rodriguez also added to the 40-man, so he'll probably get some starts too. But you need to add at least another starter. And I'm not asking for a quality starter, which it would be nice, but you have Turnbull coming back in a year and a half, and you want to give Mize, Scooble, and Manning a chance to prove themselves. So maybe wait another year to give another multi-year contract to a starting pitcher. But adding another starting pitcher is a necessity, in my opinion. You need to have innings. You need to have guys that can pitch those innings. And there's going to be a lot of innings that are going to be eaten. Because, again, injuries are going to happen. If you think that the Tigers are just going to rock with the same five for the whole season, look at every single Tigers season. I mean, Julio Teheran was in the rotation for one game last year because he got hurt instantly. And I mean, again, I don't think anyone would have expected Willy Peralta to be making starts for this team at the end of the season. So yeah, Willy Peralta, someone I talked about Tyler Anderson in my offseason post. Just, you know, a guy that you can get like solid production out of, no one that you're gonna pay a crap ton to for a long time. I'll look at some other options right now, but I want a guy that can give you some innings. And then also relief pitchers. I want the Tigers to add another starter or another reliever or two. I don't really have like a preference for a guy. I think relief pitchers are kind of hard to, you know. You kind of just sign relievers. There's not really like a type of like, you know, type of reliever that you want, I guess. I mean, yeah, there is actually, I take back that, but still. Some guys on the market that I could see maybe the Tigers giving a cheap contract to, maybe Cueto for a year. Michael Pineda would be nice, but I think he'll get a pretty solid contract. Zach Greinke, I'm not a fan of Zach Greinke, and I assume he'd get brought up. Yusei Kikuchi would be nice. He has some nice upside. I think he'll get a multi-year deal, though. Honestly, I would not be down, I would not be opposed to giving Yusei Kikuchi like a two-year deal. Brett Anderson, I mean, he can give you innings. Same with like Martin Perez. Kind of falls off from there. Maybe Dylan Bundy. He would be a solid 1 year deal. You saw him pitch his mind out in 2020. So he could be I like this as a, you know, cheap upside signing. James Paxton maybe, but yeah, I'll probably make a rankings list later in the offseason with starters, because I don't think the Tigers are going to be signing anyone until after the lockout. And then also, so moving on, the Tigers need to sign a reliever, in my opinion. If you look at the relievers right now, there's kind of like six locks for next year. You have Greg Soto, obviously. Michael Fulmer, obviously. Jose Cisnero, who's obviously. But I think with these guys, Funkhauser's a lock, Lang is a lock, and then you probably would guess Jason Foley is a lock too. But I'm a little concerned about, like, look, Cisnero really struggled to end the year last year. Funkhauser came out of nowhere. Michael Fulmer, he has really, really big durability concerns. Greg Soto's inconsistent. Like, I don't think the bullpen is, like, a lock to be as good as it was last year. And I think it's definitely a concern. Like, you probably should expect one or two of these guys to kind of fall off. So, I think the Tigers should sign at least one or two veteran guys that can help stable this bullpen. The Tigers' bullpen was, you know, it was sneaky good, but they had some major flaws, and that was with its middle relievers. Alex Lane, he really came on at the end of the season. That was a really good thing to see. He was so bad at the start, and he just got much better. But still, you right now, the projected bullpen, Joe Jimenez, that's why I said I would probably tender him, because if you're going to non-tender Joe Jimenez, the next guy in line is either Miguel Del Pozo or Rony Garcia. So that's why, like, the Tigers need to have at least, you know, I'd say at least sign one reliever, but probably want to sign multiple. I'll go through the free agency right now. One guy I've kind of, like, just, like, had my eyes on is Luis Garcia. He was on the Cardinals last year. I just remember watching him pitch against the Tigers, and he had legitimate stuff. And I had barely heard of this guy. He was, like, 32, and he was just dominating. And I feel like he's 35, and he's throwing 100. So I just thought it was interesting. You maybe could get him for cheap. He dominated in 33 innings with St. Louis. But we'll see what happens there. Other relievers I would like. Obviously, I would love Rossiel Iglesias, but I don't expect the Tigers to pursue a closer. And then qualifying offer hurts him too, considering that the Tigers would lose a second-round draft pick. Other guys that I like. Colin McHugh makes a lot of sense, you know, has that A.J. Hinch history, and he was a beast last year. Maybe sign him to a one-year deal. He actually just dominated last year. Other guys I could see, maybe, I don't really have, like, there's not really a certain guy I want. I just want some relievers, like Jake Dykeman. He's really nice. Corey Knebel, I heard he was closing in with, like, I think Philly. He would be great. Other guys, Daniel Norris, no thank you. Perhaps maybe Adam Ottavino. Like, there's a lot of veteran relievers that I would love the Tigers just give a shot to in 2022. So I don't want Miguel Del Pozo making the opening day roster, nor who's the other guy, Rony Garcia. So yeah, adding a reliever, adding a starter, and adding an outfielder is good. For the rotation, though, I think that the rotation, it's kind of, it's kind of just meh. You know, you obviously have Eduardo Rodriguez, but then outside of Rodriguez, I mean, Mize and Skubal are going to probably improve, but you can't guarantee it. And also, again, the depth is terrible right now, so you got to sign at least a guy, at least one guy. Honestly, the more I look at this,
anyways, I cut out, but going back to the rotation, it's just kind of meh, you know, relying on, you're basically betting on Skubal and Mize taking steps forward and staying healthy, and then you need Manning to, like, take a big step forward. I mean, he was quite awful. Kind of concerned about, like, the future of him, and I wouldn't be opposed to maybe shipping him and Paredes for a controllable starter, like I mentioned earlier. And then also you have, Tyler Alexander looked really good in the rotation, but I mean, how much was that? Just a short sample size. So you got to sign at least one guy. And then again, the bullpen is a lot of this team is kind of just like, can it continue to be good, or are we in for a disappointment of a season next year? And I think with Hinch and this coaching staff and Fetter, it's probably going to be better than how I'm expecting. But right now, this team on paper is looking very just kind of meh, you know. It's nowhere near how bad it was in the past, back when this team was losing 90-100 games, but I have no expectation of the playoffs this year right now. You need to get significantly better and make progress with these young guys first. So that's just kind of a realistic opinion, in my opinion, to me, you know, not trying to be super optimistic, but yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. I'll probably post again in a month or whenever the Tigers make another big signing or make a couple moves. Last thing I wanted to post or talk about was this small move, Christian Stewart signing with the Red Sox. I mean, hopefully, maybe he'll see the league again, but he's pretty bad. So, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed, and peace.